everyone. My name's Hayden. The Bible reading tonight will come from Luke chapter 1, verses 39 to 56. In those days, Mary set out and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judah, where she entered Zechariah's house and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped inside her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she exclaimed with a loud cry, "You are the most blessed of women, and your child will be blessed. How could this happen to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For you see, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped for joy inside me. She who has believed is blessed, because what was spoken to her by the Lord will be fulfilled." And Mary said, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Saviour, because he has looked with favour on the humble condition of his slave. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, because the Mighty One has done great things for me, and his name is holy. His mercy is from generation to generation on those who fear him. He has done a mighty deed with his arm. He has scattered the proud because of the thoughts of their hearts. He has toppled the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has satisfied the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, mindful of his mercy, just as he spoke to our ancestors, to Abraham and his descendants forever." And Mary stayed with her about 3 months. Then she returned to her home.
Thanks, Hayden, and I add my welcome to that of Abe's. Tonight is a little bit unusual. We have got some time in God's Word that we'll be spending some time now looking at this part of God's Word, and then we'll sing, and then we'll have some more. I'll be sharing a little bit more about our next steps for next year, and so stay tuned for that. So we'll have a slightly shorter time in the sermon section, which might be good news for some people or sad news for others, depending on how you're feeling today. But it's a wonderful passage that we have in front of us, and I'm going to pray again as we get into it. Father, we do ask that you will be stilling our hearts and minds as we come before your word, and as we look at this incredible song of Mary, we ask that you'll help us to learn from her example and to see the wonders of this moment in salvation history. Amen. Well, I'm not sure whether you have heard news so good that has ever caused you to burst into song, spontaneous song. No? Put your hand up if you like musicals. Interesting. Put your hand up if you don't like musicals. Hey, Karen. I went to Oklahoma too often as a child. Okay, there you go. The thing about musicals, I don't know if you've... I haven't seen the new Joker movie, and I don't recommend it if you like the first one. The first one, dark movie, and then apparently the second one, spoiler alert, is a musical. And apparently the thing about musicals, you watch them and you... if you don't know it's a musical, you say, hang on a second. At some point, you feel like you've been tricked by the director. You say, this is a musical. I wasn't expecting this. This doesn't feel like life because, well, most of us don't just sort of click up our heels and start singing whenever we feel like, you know, a certain emotion or something like that. Now, we don't know exactly what's going on with Mary's song that she bursts into. In terms of, we don't know what the key signature it was. We don't know whether it was accompanied. We don't even know if it was in her heart or out loud. And you know, we don't know all those details. But it is a song that comes in response to an incredible event that is happening in her life. And she's coming to terms with it. She's coming to terms with the significance of the baby that she's carrying. It's one of the most well-loved songs of history, of scripture, Mary's song. It has formed parts of Christian services, both formally and informally, for thousands of years. But perhaps the greatest tragedy when it comes to understanding the person of Mary has been the way in which, in some Christian traditions, her legacy has been really the opposite of the way that she is presented in Scripture. And that is because of the unique role of Mary in the history of salvation. There are some Christian traditions that have elevated, venerated Mary above the rest of humanity. And many people around the world today still pray to Mary. It's a tragedy and an ironic distortion because it's the very opposite of the point of Mary's song. It's a song of praise for God's greatness, and it's a song about Mary's ordinariness in light of God's greatness. See there in verse 46, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit has rejoiced in God my Saviour, because he has looked with favour on the humble condition of his slave." She was ordinary. She rejoices not in her greatness, but in the greatness of the Lord. She acknowledges that God is her Saviour. She needs saving. She needs God's favour. And yet, of course, ordinary Mary will have a unique and extraordinary place in history from this time forward. Because of what reason? Because of her great deeds? Because of her holiness? Because of her might and power? Of course not. Verse 48, "Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed because I am the Mighty One." No, because the Mighty One has done great things for me, and his name is holy. So we can learn from Mary, from her example, but it's not so much in the qualities of Mary herself, but in the joy that she has in God and what God has done from generation to generation. His mercy is from generation to generation on those who fear him. For those who have been at St. Mark's for a while, they'll see the way in which God has shown mercy across generations. For those who have been at St. Mark for a number of years, have seen across households different ways that God has shown mercy. Well, Mary acknowledges the way that God has worked in history. He has done a mighty deed with his arm. He scattered the proud because of the thoughts of their hearts. It's kind of profound, the insight that Mary has into the character of God. She obviously is drawing on Hannah's prayer from the Old Testament, acknowledging the character of God in the birth of Samuel. If you're familiar with those events, in the opening chapters of 1 Samuel chapter 1 and 2. There's an acknowledgement there from Mary about where the true power lies. In verse 52, "He has toppled the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly." We continue to see examples today, don't we, of how the seemingly untouchable people of power and influence can topple overnight, whether through their own moral failings or whether it's through the targeted attacks of others. Either way, we should be getting used to the idea by now that no earthly power is permanent, yet we can be deceived very easily into finding our security in our earthly powers and institutions. Verse 53, "He has satisfied the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty." Now, it's interesting, the hungry, there's obviously the physically hungry, but we know when the Bible talks about being hungry, it's so often more than just physically hungry. You can be hungry in so many different ways. Most of us here don't struggle with deep hunger. I mean, some people might be feeling it tonight a little bit, waiting for supper, but we know what we mean. We're not really deeply hungry here in this part of the world, but we are hungry in all other kinds of ways, whether it's hungry for success, hungry for direction, purpose, significance, hungry for status. We can be hungry for all kinds of things, and we read here that the rich are sent away empty, and I take it the rich here are not the actual rich, but those who are deluded into thinking they are rich without God. Those kind of rich, the people who see themselves as rich without God, they're sent away empty. But God God has helped his servant Israel, we see in verse 54, mindful of his mercy, just as he spoke to our ancestors, to Abraham and his descendants forever. It was wonderful that we, earlier in the year, spent time in Genesis, in term two, looking at the promises that God had made to his servant Abraham, or Abram. And in over a number of months, we're now here in, we've kind of fast-forwarded through biblical history, and we're here at the point of the birth of Jesus, where there's the those promises are coming to fulfillment. In a few moments, I'll be sharing some wonderful ways in which God has been good to us here in St. Mark's, as we think about the various reasons we have to rejoice, and things that I'm really excited to share with you in a few moments. Yet we must never lose sight of the fact that God's greatest demonstration of his faithfulness and his goodness, his provision for our needs, is in the arrival of Jesus. The greatest satisfaction for those who are hungry is with the birth and the arrival of Jesus. The greatest demonstration of his help, his mercy, is through the giving us of Jesus. The greatest answer to the prayers of his people, and some people might have been praying prayers over and over again, the greatest answer is the yes that is found in Jesus. God is indeed faithful. God is indeed very good. Now, we can see God's faithfulness and goodness in the here and now when we look around at our life and the things that we have and the circumstances, but often in the here and now, in the seasons that we are in, we can struggle to see it clearly. Sometimes we can get up in the morning and we can just feel like we can't see God's goodness. We can't see it clearly. And of course, that's not because God is not faithful and it's not because God is not good. But we can so often struggle to see it, but we must remember that God has demonstrated his faithfulness, his goodness so profoundly in the sending of his son. So today, as we see this song, let's learn from Mary's song. Do you have joy in God's favor? Do you take joy in God's faithfulness? I mean, does that even mean anything for you? God's faithfulness, his trustworthiness. Do you think God is trustworthy? Do you take joy in God's eternal purposes, his promises to his people of redemption, of forgiveness of sins, of being with him forever? Do you actually take joy in those? We can have those moments of joy every day, regardless of our circumstances, whether we live our life like a musical, spontaneously bursting into songs of joy. There could be worse things that we could do as Christians, but I'm not saying that we do that tonight. We don't go down to Coles and start singing in the aisles or something like that. That'd be a bit strange, but there could be worse things that we could do. But spiritually speaking, right, we have every reason to live our life bursting into songs of praise, at least in our hearts. Not necessarily songs of happiness, not necessarily songs full of dopamine kick or whatever it is, where you're just suddenly feeling really up. That's not what it's talking about. But songs of praise in our hearts that withstands the ups and the downs because of what God has done for us in Jesus. And that's what Mary knew. She wouldn't have been comfortable in that pregnancy. It would have been, in many ways, an ordinary pregnancy without the benefits of the comforts, the medical comforts that we might enjoy today. It would have been painful, tiring, exhausting. She wouldn't have been feeling up all the time. But she knew the joy, not just that she was having a baby, but this baby was the salvation of humanity. Do you know that joy today? Do you rest in that joy? Let's pray. Father God, we give you great thanks for this song that we have. And like Mary, sings, we thank you for the way you have indeed done great things in the sending of your Son. We thank you because you are indeed the mighty one. Your name is holy. Your mercy does extend from generation to generation. We thank you that you do indeed scatter the proud. We thank you that you do topple the mighty from their thrones. We thank you that you have put your Son on the rightful throne. You have truly exalted the truly lowly, the one who made himself nothing, went to a cross. We thank you that you have given him the name that is above every name. We ask that we, regardless of our circumstances, regardless of the ups and the downs, regardless of the pain and the circumstances, that you will help us to have deep within our souls a song like Mary's, a song of joy in your goodness towards us in your Son. We ask this in his name. Amen. We're going to continue in song. So today is part two of our Next Step services at Sundays, and as will hopefully be obvious as we get to the end of this presentation, we've needed to spread it over a couple of weeks. Last week, as we looked at Acts chapter 2, I was sharing about how as a church we're beginning to try to think about what a healthy disciple and a healthy church looks like on the ground, and we're using this language of an ecosystem. That is, a healthy church, a healthy disciple of Jesus is a church and a disciple that is deep in God's word, loves God from the heart, committed to community, God's people, serving one another joyfully and being part of God's mission to seek and save the lost. And I shared a number of ways how we're seeking to strengthen these various aspects of the ecosystem. Last week I shared that, and we're thinking about this will be the things that we'll be doing in the year ahead. And do catch up online if you missed it. What I'd like to do today is share two particular aspects of next steps for us as a church as we seek to think about not just the present needs, if that's the right word, of St. Mark's, but how we are to invest in gospel ministry, not just for the current season, but that St. Mark's is growing and thriving in the ministry of the gospel is growing and thriving in this place for many, many years to come until Jesus returns, God willing. The first thing I'd like to talk about is finances. And up the back on your way out, you can pick up the draft 2025 budget. I say it's draft because there's still a couple of details that need to be tweaked. I'll be emailing this to all the members this week. But if you're keen to drill down on any of the details, because you might find there are some line items there that might not make sense straight off the paper, please get in touch with me, speak to myself or one of the wardens if you'd like to know about those particular details. But in essence, for next year, the staff expenses we're projecting for next year in actual terms is smaller than the expenses for this year because of the change in staff configuration, because of Elise's maternity leave that begins soon, and also the timing of any new staff that will be joining us next year. So to set ourselves up well for 2025 and 2026, to set a healthy base of financial resources, when God willing we'll have a full cohort of staff on deck for the whole year, we're asking and praying that congregational giving will increase by around 15%. We believe that the best way St. Mark's can financially invest in the future of gospel ministry is through the investment of ministry staff who can grow and equip us to be disciples of Jesus, which is why for so many years the largest part of the budget every year is going towards ministry staff. And many of us who have been here for a long time will have benefited from ministry staff that have come and gone over the years, and that investment is something that we are very thankful for. Another way that we can invest in using our finances is in physical resources. And we are sitting here today, many of us are benefiting from the contributions and the financial partnership of people who made this space possible. I myself am benefiting. I didn't put a dollar towards this building, and I'm very, very thankful for those people who very generously did. There are many ways that we are thankful for the financial partnership of people who have gone before us, and we are, we've been thinking about what could be the ways that this generation can bless the future generations for many years to come. Particularly with regards to things like physical resources. And the Parish Council have identified a number of priorities regarding our next major capital expenses. In 2025, we're keen to explore and apply for a number of government grants and in areas like solar power, which would not only be a good thing for the environment, but also a good economic decision with the increase of electricity prices. And we'd probably like to do it in this order: solar power and then air conditioning in the hall here and over in the chapel there. If we got it the other way around, it could be quite expensive running the air conditioning, not with that help of solar power. But we think we might be able to spend next year thinking about how we could have some government grants to help us in that way. In terms of other next major capital expenses, the Parish Council have identified that the purchase of an additional church property for future ministry staff is a priority. And we would like in the next 2 to 5 years to be in a position where we can purchase a second property so we can accommodate future ministry staff and not be dictated to by the increasingly competitive Barara rental market. If anyone has tried to secure rentals here, with the Sydney housing situation as it is, it is hard to know what that would look like in years to come. We have been blessed by the financial partnership and generosity of a cohort of Christians from St. Mark's, some current and some former members who made some very gospel-minded decisions a number of years ago. And allowing the property that the Dobbies, Abe and Ash and the family have been living in, to stay there at a very reduced rent and a stable rent for the whole of Abe's time here, which has been an incredible blessing. And with the exception of a small move, and I say small because it was a move from next door, it wasn't probably in terms of all you had to do last year, but it was a small move in the sense that it was next door. The Dobby household have been able to stay in the same house for 9 years of their time with us, and if anyone knows anything about the rental market here, that's an unusual situation to not have to move. Now, we can't take that generosity for granted. We can't presume on such arrangements for the future, and so we're keen to start planning and setting aside funds to be able to purchase an additional property for future ministry staff that we can have for many years to come. So under God, we're praying that this increase in financial giving will come from two major sources. The first would be in the increase in the number of members who commit to regularly partnering with us financially. We've had this letter available for a number of weeks, which is an invitation to financial partnership for those people who aren't currently partnering. I've shared that we crunched the numbers, and around a little over half of our congregation, our members, our households who are members of this church, were partnering financially earlier this year. And we're very thankful that that number is on the increase as people have been responding. And we praise God for those people who have started partnering, and thank you for those people who have prayerfully decided to do that. We'd love to see everyone who's a member of this church, whether your capacity to give is large or small, to partner financially. We think that's a really important and a good thing for us to be doing. So please take a copy of that if you haven't read that. The other source is from existing financial partners to review their giving and consider whether they can increase their giving in light of the increase in our budget. And in a lot of circumstances in life where we get our bills that come through, things like insurance and other things, electricity bills and various things, the price goes up. We really don't have much choice whether we increase that or not. We're just told we have to. When it comes to our giving, it's between us and God, and no one's going to tell you to increase your giving. And so I do commend to you to take time to prayerfully consider whether you can increase in light of our budget. And I know that won't be true for everybody. So please do take a copy of the draft budget, which is in the foyer, and it will be emailed out, and the financial partnership letter if you haven't already got one. That's the finances. The second thing I would like to talk about with you today is in regards to the next generation. As we seek to invest not just in the present needs of St. Mark's, but we're keen to invest in gospel ministry growing and thriving in this place for many years to come, again, until God willing Jesus returns, I'm going to refer to what we're talking about this as investing in our next generation ministries. And I've got the privilege of sharing some encouraging updates about how God is raising up new leaders for 2025, particularly in relationship to these next generation ministries. So we deeply value our ministries to our kids, our teenagers, our young adults, and they're central, these ministries, to this activity of making and growing disciples of Jesus. They're a critical, really part of walking alongside families as they navigate the joys and the challenges of raising children to know and follow Christ. So before we go any further, it's worth acknowledging that we have been incredibly blessed by the faithful service of so many people in this area, but I want to particularly take a moment to acknowledge Elise and Abe for their outstanding contributions to our kids and youth and young adult ministries over a number of years. For a number of years, their whole life, their energy, their love, their faithfulness in discipling the next generation. They have built such strong foundations. They've raised up new leaders. They've created ministries that are vibrant and growing. On the 15th of December will be the Dobby family's last Sunday with us, and we will be taking some time across that day to give thanks for their ministry, and there'll be a special time in the morning, an extended morning tea after the morning service with a bunch of fun activities for the kids and families, and then in the evening there'll be food trucks joining us again for a special evening where we acknowledge and give thanks for the breadth of the Dobby family ministry and Abe's ministry to us over the last 8 years. 8 years? 9 years? Did I just say eight? Okay, I'll give you nine. That's right. Yeah. Nine. Round up. And Elise will be taking maternity leave from the 22nd of December, 23rd. But unlike Mary, she doesn't have an angel telling her the exact circumstances of her birth. So we don't know exactly what God will be doing with her pregnancy. And so she might be finishing up a little earlier than that. But she'll be taking maternity leave. She'll still be part of the 10 a.m. congregation, so you'll see her around if you're at that congregation. But she will be taking leave from her responsibilities in the children's and families ministry role. And so before we go into any of the details, I just want to just acknowledge how thankful we are for the ministry of Abe and Elise. And I thought we could just give them a little clap now, even though Elise is not here. Now, a number of you have been wondering what these ministries that Abe and Elise have been taking responsibility for might look like in 2025. So I'd like to share with you just some of the ways that God has been providing for us in this next chapter, particularly in the areas that Abe and Elise have been taking responsibility for. And some of these will be familiar to you, and some of these might be less familiar to you. But this is hopefully encouraging to see the ways in which God has been using Abe and Elise and raising up new leaders to take responsibility for new areas. So we've got the Playtime Ministry, which is... Can you read that? Oh, sorry. Yeah, good. My joke didn't work in the morning. Yeah. Fire engine not included. There you go. Yeah, that was me getting a bit carried away. But anyway, playtime ministry happens on Tuesday mornings, and it ministers to young families, but also people in our wider community who aren't part of this church. But so it's a really great bridging ministry to build relationships over coffee, play, a Bible story, craft, and those kind of things. We're so delighted that Peter Routh and a team of volunteer helpers that I'm not naming so that people don't swamp them with questions, but go to Peter if you've got questions about the Playtime Ministry, which will continue at least in term one next year as we seek to see what that's going to look like. But we're really delighted that is continuing next year. Did someone just clap? Oh, good. Okay, we're gonna do that. Okay. This is like at one of those speech days. Hold your applause to the end. But we can yeah, okay. Otherwise, it becomes a popularity context. We also have our Frogs ministry on Sunday mornings, and our Frogs preschool ministry is where our youngest members of our church hear about Jesus on Sunday mornings, as their parents hear about Jesus in here. And the youngest members are not just doing craft and activities, they're hearing from a very early age-appropriate lessons about the goodness of God in Jesus. And we are delighted that Kylie Dunn and Aziza Bushra are going to be overseeing that ministry as a team next year on Sunday mornings. So let's give them a clap, because we're going to do that now. as many of you know, that there was a new ministry that began this year on Sunday mornings that has been faithfully led by Felicity Harrison and Aaron. Who's Aaron? Aaron O'Brien, called Uplift. Now, Aaron's photo is not there. Sorry. But that's because Aaron's going to be doing a different ministry next year, I believe, and we'll hear about that in due course. But Felicity has kindly agreed to continue to lead that on Sunday mornings. And that ministry, Uplift, with Aaron and Felicity's leadership, has really helped bridge that gap between primary school and high school. And we've seen a noticeable difference, particularly on the Friday night youth E3, as it's as the year sixes transitioned very well this year into that youth ministry. And it's very strong, and I think in part because of the investment in the relationships and this group of upper primary school, lower high school cohorts. So we're very thankful for Felicity to continue leading that, and thank you to Aaron as well for leading this. So we can give them a hand. Our E3 ministry is a youth ministry. Abe, what does E3 stand for?
Edify, Evangelize, Exalt.
Excellent. Edify, Evangelize, Exalt. That's our youth ministry on Friday nights. I'm really delighted to announce that Josh McLeod has agreed to lead our E3 program in 2025. Is it a bearded Josh? Without the cool moustache thing. But he has very kindly agreed to lead, and he'll be doing that in a volunteer capacity, supported by myself and St. Mark's staff. Josh is a gifted and dedicated leader with a great love for youth, and he's spent a number of years in the youth ministry leading in different ways. Under Abe, he's been developing various aspects of his leadership skills, taking responsibilities for various areas, and we're delighted that he's taking responsibility for the E3 program next year. And we do thank God for his willingness to do that, and so let's thank Josh. Thank you, Josh. We have Kids Club is on Friday afternoons, which a number of us, there's a number of leaders here who are involved in that. Kids Club runs, it's a primary school program, which again has people from outside our church community and church community coming together, and it's a really a great opportunity to introduce people to Jesus and families to Jesus, and also often a really great pathway to youth on Friday nights. And we're really, really thankful for that ministry. And we also have Oasis on Sunday mornings, which a number of you here are leaders of as well. And that teaches, that's where the primary age kids learn about Jesus and are taught and discipled by young leaders. And I'm really delighted to announce that as Elise prepares for maternity leave, that Tim Murphy will be joining us as a student minister next year, part-time. So he's not an Elise replacement, so don't go to Tim with all the questions that you would ask Elise. I don't know how he makes coffees and things like that, but he'll be working with us a day and a half a week as he studies full-time at SMBC, particularly helping run the Kids Club and Oasis programs. He'll be starting at the beginning of February, but right now I think his mind is on a thing called a wedding that's coming up in a couple of weeks. So if you ask him questions about that, he might be thinking, I'll tell you after I'm married, right? Okay. But we're very, very thankful for Tim coming on with his gifts. He's a very gifted communicator with children, and we're delighted to see him use his gifts to serve and grow his people, God's people here at St. Mark's next year. Thank you, Tim. So it really is, I think, so encouraging to see so many people stepping up into new roles and responsibilities and leadership. God, we can see in this time of transition, God is raising up a new generation of leaders to lead the next generation. And we're really excited about what is going ahead. And as we were doing some strategic planning earlier this year, it did become clear how important and vital the next generation ministries are to the health of our church, the long-term health of our church, as we seek to be responsible stewards of raising up disciples in this part of the world for many years to come. And we've recognised the importance of investing in leaders who can guide our children, our teenagers, our young adults through the various transitions of life, from primary school to high school, from high school to uni to work to adulthood and those areas. On one level, when you look at all these ministries, you could think, well, this is wonderful. God has provided leaders, despite, I guess, the fact that Elise is taking maternity leave and Abe is finishing up on the 15th of December. God has provided leaders in all these spaces, and we can be confident that under God, we're going to be able to run these ministry programs that we've run this year because of these leaders who have stepped up and taken increased responsibility leading teams of leaders. But at St. Mark's, I think as we've been thinking about what are we on about, we're keen not to just run programs, as valuable as they are. We are keen to invest in the next generation of leaders, ministers and servants of Jesus. We want to be devoted to seek to ensure that we're not just making disciples of the next generation, but under God doing everything we can to ensure that we're raising up the next generation of leaders. If you can see that distinction, supporting the leaders who are making disciples. And brings me now to an important development. When Abe mentioned that he'll be moving to Northmead, I was thinking about the work that Abe has been doing and how he could continue to build on his work and invest more deeply, even more deeply, in this next generation. And with the help of a number of others, I crafted a new role description for a full-time staff position. It would be a new tier of leadership at St. Mark's. It wouldn't be the youth and young adults minister. It wouldn't be the children's and families minister. It would be a full-time associate minister with a responsibility for overseeing all these next generation ministries, particularly the leaders of these ministries, and in addition to that, pastoring this congregation as the dedicated pastor, where most of these leaders find their home congregation in this particular congregation. And so in 2025, that person would be the person who would be pastoring this congregation and supporting ministry leaders like Josh, Tim, Felicity and others, ensuring that the leaders feel well supported in their new responsibilities, ensuring that we're aligned in our purposes as we seek to grow healthy disciples of Jesus. And of course, like I mentioned, given that so many of these leaders are part of this congregation, we're keen for this appointment to be someone who is a pastor of this congregation and developing strong relationships, seeing this congregation grow as young adults particularly are equipped to lead and serve others, but this congregation is pastored well. So I brought this proposal to Parish Council, and I'm thrilled to share that they approved it as part of the 2025 budget. And so the question for me was, well, who can we find to fill this critical role? And in God's kindness, there has been an exceptional candidate already amongst us at this church. And last week I formally offered this position to the candidate. And on my birthday, coincidentally or not enough, they accepted. And it was a great, wonderful birthday present. So I am delighted to announce that, God willing, starting in May next year, our new associate minister overseeing our next generation ministries and pastoring this, our 6 PM congregation, is the Reverend Daryl Dina, who's in the front here. So let's give him a round of applause. And I don't have a photo of Daz, but we'll bring him up in just a moment. Actually, you can come up now, Daz, if you want to come up. Daz has been a member of our 10 AM congregation since about April last year. Is that right? April last year. Married to Lissa. And two children, Isaac and Evelyn. And I've known Daz for a number of years. I was at St. James Tarramurra, and Daz and Lissa were there. And when I announced that I was coming up here, which was near where Daz and Lissa live in Cowan, a number of people at St. James said, "It's great that you're going to Barara, but don't take Daz and Lissa from us, right?" And I said, I won't. And then in April, they turned up, right? And what was great about these guys is they said, "We're not turning up for you," right, to me. They said, "We've got a heart for God's people here." Didn't say it that directly. But what they meant was, they had a love, a deep love for their brothers and sisters at St. James Tarramurra, which is where they came from. But they had an even greater love to serve God in the local area where they're living in Cowan, and a great belief in serving God in the local church. Mm. And so they came with kind of tears in their eyes. I still remember it because they were making a difficult decision to leave their beloved family at St. James Tarramurra and join us. And we've been so blessed by having these guys. I've been in a Bible study with Daz for the last year and a half, and delighted that Daz is... it was as Abe let me know he was finishing up. I was also at the same time getting a request from Daz to give him a reference for jobs because I'm thinking of working somewhere close to home. I said, "Well, hang on a sec, we'll just." So it was all, and so we got chatting, and we're so thankful that Daz has agreed to come on and serve in this way. Can I just ask how we can pray for you as you? Sorry, just in Daz's background, currently he's been serving as the chaplain at Mossman Prep School for the last 8 years, and he's also deputy of pastoral care, and so you're making the shift from school chaplaincy into parish ministry. How can we be praying for you guys?
Term one at Mossman Prep, that I would end that season well. Like, as you guys know, when you invest in ministry, you invest your heart and soul and you invest in people. So prayer that that season would just end well, but I'm also looking forward to what that next term might look like. Kids, Evie and Isaac, they're really excited about me in this role, so that's great, you know, that's a real praise point. It's just amazing how the Lord works. You know, there's a line in our school prayer that says, "Guide us throughout our lives to do your will and to become more like your son," you know, based off the Lord's Prayer. And that's something that I've continually prayed, and I've got it sort of stuck in the back of my Bible, that I'll continually seek the Lord's guidance and do his will and to become more like Jesus today than I am yesterday. And so with that, you know, Liz and I are also praying that we can bring our relational spheres to together, and God in his way just opened this door, and so really thankful to God for this opportunity to continually to grow and love and serve you guys, and for us together to keep digging deeper into our love for the Lord and to glorify him. So prayer for that, prayer for your patience with me as well. Like, I think, man, when I first walked into this church, I thought this is a church filled with love and warmth and real servant-heartedness. And that's been really encouraging. And knowing that many of you who serve in the morning congregation and serve the kids, I just think, oh, bless you guys. And I want to sow into your life, knowing the ways that you have sown into the younger kids. So, yeah, prayer for patience for me. But that God is good, he is mighty, and I'm really looking forward to this new season together, which will start in May, term two. Yeah.
So when you see Desiree, don't ask him any questions about life. You know, Now, before we pray, I thought it'd be great. Can we get Josh, Tim, and Felicity? Is there anyone else who I mentioned in the... Is Peter Routh here? He's not here tonight, no? Could they come up as well? Thanks. Oh. Come on, I thought it'd be good just we'll pray for Daz and we'll pray for these ministry leaders stepping into these new responsibilities next year. So let's pray. Father, I want to give you great thanks for your goodness, and we thank you for the privilege it is to be involved still in 2024 in that work of the Great Commission that Jesus first gave his disciples shortly after his resurrection to go and make disciples of all nations. And we thank you particularly for the way in which you have been putting on the hearts of these leaders to serve you next year, particularly by taking responsibility for the walk of other disciples of Jesus. And we thank you for the provision of these leaders, and we ask that you'll help us to support them practically in prayer and in encouragement. Help us not to be a church that sits back and says, well, then the leaders are going to do everything. We ask that you'll help us to be a genuine partnership, using our gifts, serving each other, united in your gospel purposes. And we particularly want to praise you for the opportunity that Daz has, we have with Daz to join us on the staff team next year in this new role as an associate minister, overseeing all these next generation ministries and overseeing and pastoring this congregation here at 6 p.m. We pray that you'll give him wisdom as he seeks to lead these leaders and this pastor this congregation. We pray for him and Lissa and Isaac and Evelyn as they transition from the kind of role that Daz has been in with the long commute to Mossman and the working in the school environment to working very locally with all the ambiguity that ministry comes with it. We pray that you'll give them great joy in this. We pray that you'll unite them as a family and that they'll have great support around them. And we pray, as Daz says, the farewells over the next term one next year, that you'll be helping Mossman Prep find a suitable replacement. And we pray that you'll help him to transition well into this new role. And we ask that you'll continue to bless and grow the ministries of St. Mark's for many, many years ahead. We ask this in your son's name. Amen. Amen. And chat to Daz after the service. We're going to sing together now.